month of the year, we were fasting and praying. The second month, we spent time focusing on the Word and doing our soap challenge, just understanding how not just to talk to God, but to hear His voice through the Word. And there's three values that we have here at Grace Bible Church: to connect, to serve, and to give. And those words are not just, you know, words up on a wall, but they're values that we hold and we live out. And I wanted to talk a little bit about serving. That's this next series that we're in, United We Serve. Can you say that this morning? Say, United We Serve. And God has called us to serve, not because it's just a cool thing to do, but how many of you know that our whole mission in life, our whole goal is to follow Christ? And Christ came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And so when we look at what we want to do, who we want to be, we want to follow in the footsteps of our Lord. And He was a servant. And so that's a huge value here at Grace Bible Church, not just serving in church, but serving in your homes, serving your families. And how many of you know that serving starts at home? Serving starts at home. There's so many opportunities for you to serve your spouse or your family, and we'll get into like what it is, the opportunity that we have to serve. Before we jump into that, I just want to say something about connecting. It was just a picture that came to mind as I was preparing for this word. And connecting with God, connecting with others, it's very hard to connect with others in a bigger group like a Sunday service. A lot of us come, maybe you come for the worship, maybe you come for the word, maybe you come for the donuts after church. How many of you come just for the donuts after church? thank you, Ethan, for raising your hand. Is that Ethan? I don't know. It's great, and you're welcome to come just for the donuts or just for the word. But how many of you know that the house of God is more than just the refrigerator? When you're at home, and you know, we would always have dinner together as a family, and we'd go to the fridge and get food and sit down together around the table to just converse with one another and to fellowship with one another. And this church is more than an organization. It's a community. Everyone say community. And the community, the greatest opportunity, the greatest fulfillment and joy that you'll experience is connecting with other believers around the table. It's not just going to the fridge and getting fed the word and getting what you want, but it's like sitting down and sharing life with other people. And when my kids got older and, you know, they're high school, college, and it gets harder to get them to sit down because they're so busy and they have other things to do. But the times that we do sit down and commune with each other and share what happened during the day, like those are the sweetest moments of life. And so if you're coming just to be fed, that's cool. You know, you can do that, but you're missing out. You're missing out on like the best benefits, the best fulfillment that you can experience as being a part of the house of God. So welcome yourself to the fridge, but I want to encourage you to jump into a group. Is that cool? If you are not in a group, jump into a group. And you don't have to stay. The great thing about, you know, the great thing about groups is like not every group is for every person. The reason why we have so many is you might go to a certain group and after, you know, a couple of weeks be like, huh, these people talk too much. I can't handle this. I'm going to go somewhere else. And you can go to another group and then that, oh, this group, they grumble too much. I'm going to go to a different group. And so you can pick the one that is like you, you know, and just like in a regular family or there, you're going to find the place that you fit and then grow together. Amen. I'm going to talk about three things this morning. The first thing is that God's called us to serve together. The second is that you are needed. And the last thing is that you need others. God has called us to serve together. I want you to do something. It might be awkward, but turn to the person sitting next to you and tell the person sitting next to you, God wants me to serve you. And then say it back to the person that said it to you, say it back. God wants me to serve you. Was that hard? Okay, now I want you to return, I want you to say this. God wants you to serve me. Was that easier? the volume kind of picked up when I said, God wants you to serve me. It's so much easier to tell somebody, hey, God wants you to serve me, than God wants me to serve you. But how many of you know that Jesus came not to be served, but he came to serve, right? And to give his life. And so our mission, our call, our fulfillment comes from following the footsteps of Christ. And when everybody serves, when everybody has a heart to be selfless, all of the major conflicts in our relationship, in our families, in our community, has to do with one problem, and it's selfishness. If you think about all the tension, all the conflict that you experience, everything is centered around selfishness. And when Jesus came, he showed the antidote to all conflict and tension in our world by being selfless to the point of going to the cross and dying for our sins and showing his love in an unconditional way that even when we were not seeking for him and were hostile against him, he died for us. And he's looking for a people that would love him enough to emulate his example on this earth and to be his ambassadors and representatives to a world that doesn't know who he is. And when we are that, when we are selfless to one another, when we're selfless in our families, to our spouses and to our kids and to our church and to this community, we become a reflection of the kingdom of God here on earth. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he's looking for those who love him enough to follow him and call him Lord. And so he's called us to serve. When you look to your neighbor and you tell them, God called me to serve you, it's not just saying it out of our mouths. It's a mission and a mandate that God has given every single one who knows him as Lord. Amen? How many want to be great? How many think that wanting to be great is prideful? God wants you to be great. He wants to bless you to be a blessing. If you don't believe me, let's read a scripture together. Let's read this top part together. Many think the highest call is to have the most, to be the most, or to know the most. But Jesus turned that upside down and said the greatest would be a servant. Our marriages, our families, our church, our community become strong when everyone lives like Christ and serves one another. One of the most powerful experiences I had in this church was during the Lahaina fires. And when there was the Lahaina fires and our brothers and sisters needed us on the other side, the whole community turned out and nobody cared about what they had or what it was going to cost. Everybody came every single day from morning to evening to serve. And that was such a powerful testament of the love and the spirit of Christ. And our service members, those that were firefighters and police officers, we saw the example of selflessness out there in Lahaina. And the reason why it touches us so much and we honor those people that gave their lives or put themselves in harm's way is because it is a model of the one that we honor the most, Jesus Christ. And he's called us, it doesn't have to be in a big situation like risking our lives, but he's called us to serve in small ways every single day. And sometimes that's even harder, right? And all the husbands and wives said, amen. And all the parents said, amen. Sometimes it's harder to sacrifice in the small things every single day than it is in one big thing once a decade. But God calls us to serve. This is the way that Jesus said it in Mark 10, 42 and 43. Let's read the scripture together at the count of three. One, two, three. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's pray this morning. God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you didn't just tell us what to do, but that you came to this earth and you lived and you died in a way that personified servanthood. And God, we pray that as we go through your word this morning, that you would speak to us, not just speak to us and change our minds, but transform our hearts Help us to be more like you through the power of your Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. In this scripture it says, but whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be great. God put that desire in your life to be great. If you have great ambitions, if you have dreams, if you have goals, that's something that God placed in your life. But the way that we pursue it can be wrong. The way that we pursue it can be not kingdom. The way that the world pursues it is they want to be more. They want to have more. They want to act like they know more. But Jesus said, if you desire to be great, then be like a servant. The doorway to greatness in the kingdom of God is through serving. And Jesus is a perfect example of that. He served, and now more than 2 billion people around the world call him Lord. If you want to be remembered, if you want to be significant, it's not through being the greatest. It's being the greatest servant. Amen? And God's called every single one of us to serve. I'm reading this book right now, and it talks about, the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is that we impact our communities and we impact the world. And one of the things that it compares different churches to, because we live in a culture that loves to be served and not serve. And I've never been on a cruise ship. How many have been on a cruise ship? I've never been on a cruise ship. Is it fun? It's fun. Being on a cruise ship is fun. And there's 80% of the people on a cruise ship sit down next to the pool, have their shades on, sipping martinis is like what I picture in my mind. And all of these people that are walking around and serving, but 20% are serving and 80% are just enjoying themselves. And there's no mission, there's no goal, it's just people enjoying themselves. But a battleship, every single person is needed. Every single person has a task. And that battleship has a purpose and a mission. And so it is with the church. The church, God has called us to advance the kingdom of God. And every single one of us have a specific gift, have a specific call, have a specific assignment that God has given us. And when we come to church, we can come and just be like nitpicking of, does this serve me good? Oh, the kids' ministry didn't do this, or the worship could have been better, or, man, Pastor John, he's always offending people by saying that we need to serve others, or whatever it is. But if we come with a heart to serve, God can change and transform our lives, and we are a powerful example of that when we're all moving and operating in that, like how we've seen in the past several months. And I'm so proud of being a part of this church. When I was in college, I remember going to college and thinking, I don't want to go to a church that knows me, because my dad was a pastor, and all the other pastors in Grace Bible Church knew who I was, and I kind of wanted to do my own thing for a little while, and I didn't want anyone to tell on me. And so I went to every single other church on the island trying to find a church that I liked. And instead of finding a church that I liked, I found that no other church had the presence of God like how it had at that Grace Bible Church on Oahu. And that's because the music wasn't good. There was nobody my own age. In the college group, I went to the college group hoping to find people my age. It was all like 50-year-olds. And I thought, this sucks. I don't want to go to this church. But God was there for me. And that told me that he wanted me to serve in that church. And as I started serving that church and not being there to be served but to serve, I remember there was my pastor, Bruce Ho, he said, John, we got to reach out to this girl. She was like, coming to church, and we need to grow this college age group. And so you got to help us grow our college age group. And during that time, there was this girl, Brenda, and she reached out to this girl, Joss, and she started coming to my Bible study, and we ended up getting married. I didn't plan it that way, but when I was faithful with following God and serving him the way that he wanted me to serve, like, God blessed me. And that's the way it is with every single one of our lives. It's not about us and how we feel, but it's about what God wants from us. And when we surrender our lives to him, it always comes back. When we sow into the kingdom, it will always come back to bless us. Amen? There's two things that the enemy does to keep us from getting connected and to keep us from serving one another. The number one thing is to make you feel like you're not needed, to make you feel like you don't have anything to give, to make you feel like, to make you compare to other people and say, they can do it better, they're more pretty, they're more handsome, they're more talented, and there's nothing that I can give. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. God wants to use every single one of us and has put a treasure in every single heart. The enemy would want to attack us with insecurity and make us feel that we are not needed. But God's word teaches us that everyone is a 10 somewhere. Can you say that with me? Everyone is a 10 somewhere. You might not be able to do things as good as, you know, the person sitting next to you in a certain area, but you can do things the greatest in the area that God gives to you. Everybody is a 10 somewhere. We are all needed and play a part in his body. Let's read the scripture together, 1 Corinthians 12, 16 through 20. 1, 2, 3. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, now picture that in your head, the whole body was an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body was hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Every single one of you are here for a reason. God has something specific that he's placed in your life that is of value to someone else. And because you're with you all the time, a lot of times we can't see what we have to give. But God has given it, if you're an eye and that's all you can do, then your purpose or your fulfillment won't come from you just seeing. You have to be plugged in to a body that can hear, that can taste, that can smell, that can get you around. So God has put all of us with our unique gifts in the body. But now God has set members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, how would they be a body? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Every single person is gifted. Do you want to know how you figure out where your gifting is? How many of you know what your gifting is? What you're talented in? What your gift is? Raise your hand if you know what your gift is. Okay, for the rest of you, I'm going to tell you the secret of how you figure out what your gift is. You know what your gift is? Your gift is found by what irritates you the most. Because when you're irritated, it's because you know it can be done better, right? And it's because you could probably do it better. If it irritates you, that's probably your gift. I always pick out Mike Hearn, because Mike Hearn, he's like one of the most gifted people I know. Oh, there he is in the back. And if there's anything that you need done, like, he is a genius, and he's able to get stuff done. And one of the irritations that he had when he first came to the church was he looked at the hedges, and he's like, these hedges are so overgrown and so ugly, somebody needs to take care of these hedges. And then God said, well, why don't you do it? And so he did it, and then ended up, God used him to, like, remodel the whole entire sanctuary and the preschool building next to us. You can give God a hand. You know, those overgrown hedges didn't irritate me at all. I could have cared less about the overgrown hedges. I look at the overgrown hedges and I'm like, man, those are healthy plants. I could care less if they're, you know, overgrown. But that's not my gift. And every single one of us have a gift. And we know it by the way that we're irritated. First, we serve in our families. How many of you get irritated in your family? How many of you get irritated with your spouse? How many of you get irritated with your kids? You know why? Because you have a gift. And God wants you to use your gift. What would your family look like if every time you got irritated, you took it as a signal from God to serve? How would your family look different? How would this church look different? What would happen if you woke up in the morning and you got out of bed first and you got your coffee, I'm not talking about my life, got your coffee, your wife comes out of bed after you get out of bed, and then you both go back into the bedroom and the bed is not made, and you get irritated. Not me, I'm just like, this is hypothetical. You get irritated that the bed is not made, and you take that as a signal of, you fix the bed. What if you go into the bathroom and the toilet paper goes over the top and you like it under the bottom and you look at it and you get irritated? Being a servant isn't taking it in and flipping it around. Being a servant is like, I'm irritated, but I'm a servant. And if my wife likes the toilet paper coming out from the bottom, I'm going to let the toilet paper stay that way. And when you come in and it's going over the top, you're like, oh, and you flip it over so that your wife likes it. I see everybody shaking their head like, no way. But every single thing that irritates us, whether it's big things in our lives or small things in our lives, we can take that as an opportunity to serve. And when we serve, it's not going to come back to us overnight. A lot of times when we serve and we love, we expect our spouse to right away reciprocate what we feel that we've done for them. But love is like an avocado tree. When you plant an avocado tree, how long does it take to grow? Like 8 years, 10 years, right? It takes a long time for an avocado tree to grow. And I love avocados. It's like my favorite fruit. I love avocados. And I was going to plant an avocado tree in my backyard. But I learned that it takes 10 years to grow. I'm going to be like in my 60s before I can enjoy the avocado tree. I might as well just go to Safeway and buy one. But we can't buy love. We can't buy patience. We can't buy forgiveness. All of those things can only be reaped where they're sowed. And it takes a long time for those things to grow. And so I just want to encourage you, like you might be going through stuff in your family, in your marriage, you know, in this community where you feel you're giving and it's not being reciprocated. But Jesus, he set the model for us. And it took a long time for what he sowed to reap, even in our lives. And so love is patient. Love is kind. God calls us to sacrifice and to serve. And when we do, it will come back greater. When you put one seed in the ground, does just one fruit come out of the tree decades later? No, it's exponential. And every one of those seeds can bear fruit. And so in the same way, husbands, I want to encourage you. And wives, I want to encourage you. If you're sowing and you're not finding the fruit right away, it could be that those seeds that you're sowing are generational seeds. That the promise that God gives in Genesis 3, that seed time and harvest will not cease, that is a promise for every single one of our marriages, every single one of our families, for this church. We're going to sow, and we're going to continue to sow, and even if the avocado doesn't appear tomorrow, we're going to keep sowing because generations later, it's going to bear fruit, and that fruit will bear fruit. It's a long-term generational legacy thinking that God wants to give us a perspective of. He has that perspective long-term, and he calls us to be his kids and to think the same way. And when we have faith, it takes faith to sow and to believe that God is going to bring a harvest, even though we don't see it tomorrow or next year or the following year after. But it takes faith to believe in the word of God and to say he is not a God that he should lie. And if I sow love, if I sow forgiveness, if I sow patience, that it will come back. And it will come back in spades because he said it. Amen? You are needed. You are needed. So we can err on the side of insecurity, but we can also err on the side of pride. Once we know that we're needed and we're involved and engaged, how many of you know it's easy to say, well, I don't need you. I might be needed, but I don't need you. God wants you to know that you are needed, and in the same way that you're needed, You need others. You need others. Tell the person sitting next to you, I need you. We cannot be everything that God's called us to be without one another. You need others. The enemy would want to attack us with pride to think, I don't need anyone else and can do life alone. This is a lie from the pit of hell. And God's word teaches us that we need one another. Let's read the scripture together in 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 27. 1, 2, 3. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on how we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Every one of you need each other. How many of you get irritated with the person sitting next to you? Don't raise your hand. That's a signal that you can serve. But there's a statistic that says that 85% of people are easy to get along with, and it's only the 15% that are difficult. How many would disagree with that? Then you're probably the 15%. I'm just joking. Maybe. Every single part of us are needed, even the ones that are irritating. And I always, this is the way that I like to think about it. When you get older, and I'm like 50 years old, I'm 50 years old. When you get older, hair grows in places that you don't want it to grow. So nose hairs are irritating. When you're older, even when you're younger, or you're Okinawan, because Okinawans have more hair than other nationalities, and I'm all of those. I'm like old Okinawan, and so, nose hairs are irritating, but they're important because it filters out all of the viruses and the germs that go through your nasal cavity and end up in your lungs. I know that's a really weird analogy, but the person that's irritating you in your life could be a nose hair. They could be operating and functioning as something that's protecting you or building you up in ways that you don't understand and that are needed in your life and that are benefiting in your life, even though it's uncomfortable. And in all of our lives, every single member is needed, even something as insignificant as a nose hair. God put everything on our bodies because we need it. They thought that we didn't need our, appendix. Yeah, appendix. But then they found out that there is a function for that organ. Every single one of us need the body parts that we have. And it, in the same way in the body of Christ, we might look at somebody and say, they're not needed. They're irritating. They're always testing me in different ways. But every single part, if this scripture is correct, every single one of us are needed. Every single one of us are valued. Every single one of us have value to give to the body of Christ and perform something that we all need. Amen? Amen. One of the things that I'm grateful for is that when Jesus came and he gave his life for us, that he didn't look at us based on what we could give him or how he would benefit. He came to serve. And this morning we're going to take communion. And I just want to, we give out these communion packets, and it's very rare that we miss taking communion. But if for any reason we don't take communion in church, I want to invite you to take this home and to partake of communion with your family around the dinner table. It's a very awesome experience to take communion with your family at home and to lead your family in communion. You can take the bread this morning. God, we just thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken for us, and that through your body that we can find healing, that you didn't wait for us to love you, but you came to serve. And God, we thank you for your broken body that provides healing for our mind, our will, our emotions. God, we, as your people, we receive the bread this morning as a representative of your broken body that provides healing. We pray your healing, God, over our community, over different ones that are experiencing trauma, different ones that are experiencing stress from the financial situation of our island. God, we pray your peace that passes understanding over this island. God, thank you that you've called us your body. Lord, that we're not your slaves, but we are your bride. And God, that you want to use this church, you want to use our families, you want to use our relationships in this community to represent you and to bring healing to the places that need healing. So God, we take the bread this morning. Thank you for your love for our lives. You can go ahead and take the bread. God, we thank you so much for your blood. This cup represents the blood that was shed for forgiveness of sin. And all of us have sin that needs to be forgiven. Guilt that you have from your thoughts, your actions, the way that you have treated others. And Jesus' love forgives all sin. Do you pray with me this morning? God, we just thank you for your blood that washes us, forgives us, and cleanses us of our sin. Lord, thank you for your love that drove you to the cross, that you saw in us something that was special, something that was of value. And God, even for those that don't feel valuable and don't feel special, don't feel that they measure up, God, you love each one. So I pray that your love would overflow in every heart right now. God, that you'd speak to each heart in life this morning. God, thank you for your blood that represents your love and your forgiveness for our lives. You can go ahead and partake of the cup this morning. And God, in the same way that we have received your body and your blood that was shed for our sin, God, we pray that you would use us, that as we have freely received of your love and your forgiveness, that we would freely give to others that same love and that same healing. In Jesus' name, if you are here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Christ, with every eye closed, every head bowed this morning, I want to give you that opportunity. If you haven't experienced spiritual family of being needed and being valued and living out the purpose that God has called, I want to invite you to pray this morning a prayer with me of surrender, giving your life to God and asking him to be Lord of your life. There's a purpose and a plan. There's a reason why you're here this morning. You're not here by accident. You might think you're here by accident, but God ordained that you are here this morning to hear this message, to hear that he loves you and that he has a plan for your life. So with your eyes closed and heads bowed, if that's you this morning and you want to say, if you want to invite Christ into your heart to forgive you of your sin, that you want to start a new season in your life of a relationship with the Lord this morning, I just want you to raise your hand and I want to pray for you this morning. Go ahead, you can raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Anyone else? This is between you and the Lord. It's not between you and anyone else. This is a decision that's between you and God. One day you will stand before God and you'll see him face to face. And this is a moment that you can invite him into your heart right now. Does anyone else want to receive him into your life? You can go ahead and raise your hand. Awesome. Awesome. Just say this prayer with me. Can we all say this prayer together as a body, as a church? Say, dear Jesus, thank you for your love for my life. Thank you that you created me and that you know me, that you have a plan and purpose for my life that's greater than my own. I surrender my life to you now. I ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sin, to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to follow you, and I want to be a servant. And the way that you served me, I want to serve you, and I surrender my life to you. Lead me in your ways. Help me to hear your voice. Help me to sense your presence with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we have a hand for all of those that received the Lord this morning? If that was you and you said that prayer for the first time, there is a gift that we want to give you out in the lobby. You can go ahead and pick that up.